Thank you, Shelley. We're going to be looking at these verses here in Hebrews. Thank you for being here this morning. We were just away for a few days at the camp, and we brought six of our grandkids. And you stayed in that cabin? It was small. It was very small. And I realized why I was thankful my kids are grown, okay? I came home, and I told one of them, I said, here's the most irritating from here to here, okay? I'm not going to tell you who the most irritating was, although they did pretty good, but his name was Jason. Not that he was bad, he's a boy. Every time I turn around, I'm like, would you quit climbing down the hill? And it's kind of illegal to be throwing rocks at turkeys, okay? Don't be doing that. I know it's a boy thing, but don't do that. We all do, and sometimes the kids, I always say, like, they're acting like their age. They're acting immature. I remember, I don't even know why I did this. I was a smart aleck in school. I remember one time, some of you might remember, if you're really old like John, there was a baseball player from Long Beach. He was a professional baseball player in the 60s. His name was Bob Bailey. Anybody remember him? I think he may have played for the Dodgers, but he played for the Pirates. So he's from Long Beach, and when we were like fourth grade, they brought him into assembly to talk to us. And then when they got done, they said, does anybody have a question? Now, I wasn't trying to be dumb. I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck, and I had no idea why I even asked this. Here's the question. It was ridiculous. He's like, yes, sir, son. I said, so if a guy is up at bat and he's chewing gum, and he were to get hit by a pitch and choke, whose fault is it? And he looked at me. And then I looked at my teacher, and she was like, oh, boy. We had another one time our teacher was talking about trash, you know, and they started that stuff a long time, recycling and saving the planet. And I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck. I thought I had a brilliant idea. I thought, she goes, yes. I'm like, why don't we just build a huge rocket ship and put all the trash in the rocket ship and shoot it into space? She gave me that look again. Now, say, are you really a dumb kid? I think I am, actually. I was at that age. I don't even know why I said that. But you know why? When you're young and you're immature, you know what you do? You do immature things. That's just how it was, how it is. All of us have probably said this at one time or another, right, to our children. As they get a little bit older and they do something that they shouldn't do, we tell them to, they get a little older and they do something immature, what do we tell them? No, they're already grown up. We tell them, act, there it is right there, act your age, okay? You're not 5 anymore. You're 15 or you're 12. Well, that's a spiritual concept too. Okay, I don't remember that one. Act your age, not your shoe size, okay? Or your IQ. Anyhow, the book of Hebrews, if you've read it, and I hope you have, it deals with doctrines and teachings that are a little bit deeper than other portions of Scripture. A lot of good things, but really the theme is that Jesus is better, and he goes through many things that Jesus is better than. He's better than the angels, and he's better than the priest, and so forth and so on. The chapter begins with the teaching of Christ as our high priest, and that he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. A lot of people still debate what that means and who he is, but the point really was that Melchizedek was a priest and a king, and Jesus Christ is also a priest and a king. But after this teaching, he makes reference to the fact that there's other things that he wants to teach them, other things he wants them to get. But he says that he can't at that time because they're not spiritually mature enough to catch it. They wouldn't understand it. Because their maturity level was low, these things he's teaching that are a little bit deeper than some of the other things in the Bible, they would not be able to understand it. They would not be able to receive it. Positionally, because they were saved, they were old enough in the faith to where they should have been able to understand these things. They should have been able to catch them. They should have had enough maturity. But practically speaking, they were not mature enough in the faith to receive it. And so God is trying to wake them up to the fact that they should be mature and they should be acting in coordination with what their spiritual age really is. But they weren't. They were struggling. The problem is because they were negligent in their faith. By the way, the problem of immature believers is not new. The Bible speaks of the problem in other verses as well. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Therefore we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." In other words, they say, look, if you don't keep going forward, you're going to lose any spiritual maturity or ground which you have already got. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." He goes, I can't even speak to you on a spiritual level. I have to speak to you as someone who's not spiritual. And he tells them why at the end of verse 1, "even as unto babes in Christ." Now, these people weren't babes in Christ, is someone who's newly saved. They're new in the faith, and they haven't grown yet. And that's okay. We're all there. We got a new baby right here. Finally, thank you, Norma, for finally having the baby there. It's been a while. We were getting to wonder if you were really pregnant, okay? It was taking forever. That kid did not want to come out. But so that's a baby. And it says in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 3, "And I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." Paul's saying, look, I have to give you spiritual milk. And milk, by the way, is pre-digested. That's why it's easy for babies to handle. They're not ready for steak. They're not ready for meat. They have to grow and mature enough to where they can get that and they can handle it. And he's saying, spiritually speaking, you're not there. Now, here's my question for you. Are you acting your spiritual age? Now, how long have we been saved? You say, I've been saved a month, okay? Then you're still learning a lot of things. When I was a new believer, just now, just growing in my faith, I'd never even touched a Bible, so I'm like, I got a lot of catching up to do, so I got myself a Bible, and I read it from cover to cover within 3 months. I'm like, I got some catching up, and from there, I just kept going and going and going, because I knew I was behind. Now, if I'm not acting my spiritual age, there's only one person I can blame. I can blame you? Okay, I'll blame you. No. Yourself, right? Yeah. That's up to you. You cannot blame church. You cannot blame other Christians. You cannot blame Christ. I mean, he's giving you everything you need. If you are going to be spiritually mature, here's the big key. You have to take spiritual responsibility. That's what it's all about. You have to say, you know what? It's my responsibility where I am at spiritually, and I've got to be the one to get me to where I need to be. Now, I don't mean that in a fleshly sense. The Lord grows us. I get it. But he doesn't grow us if we're not willing to want to grow. He's not going to grow us if we're not doing the things that he tells us that will cause us to grow. So, from this text, I would like to give you, and when you say this, you're going to look at the clock. You always do, right? I'm going to give you 8 reasons why someone would not be acting their spiritual age. And I know what you need. Look at it. Okay, it's 10:43 now. If it's 3 minutes a point, 8 times 3 is 24. We're going to get out of here late. No. I know they're cooking food over there. You know they're cooking food over there. You probably can smell it. I'm going to go through these quickly. Is that okay? Well, even if it wasn't okay. All right, look at verse 1. Here are some reasons why we may not, or someone else may not, act their spiritual age. Number 1, they're not growing in hearing. They're not growing in hearing. Look at verse 11 of chapter 5. It says, "Of whom we have many things to say." He just talked about Jesus as a high priest. Wonderful doctrine there. Then he says, we got many other things to say and hard to be uttered. In other words, they're not as easy to understand. You've got to have a little bit of a spiritual base. You got to have a little bit of a spiritual foundation. "Seeing ye are dull of hearing." Dull of hearing. You're not getting it. You're not ready to hear it. By the way, that's like some of you sit there and you want to argue with your 2-year-old about doing something. 2-year-olds don't get it. You don't have a debate with a 2-year-old. Here's the answer. Do it. Why? Because I said. That's simple. And there are ramifications, that's a word they wouldn't understand. You're going to get in trouble if you don't. Now, as they get older, then they can learn. I get it. But we have to, we're like that sometimes. We have to hear. What's the problem? The problem wasn't the teaching. The problem was their spiritual level. He says we have things that are hard to be uttered. He means difficult to explain, to teach and exhort. In other words, it was going to be hard for him to explain these things to them, particularly at the spiritual level they were at, because they weren't in the habit of hearing. They weren't in the habit of being mature enough to catch these things. The problem wasn't what was being taught. It was who was being taught. That was the problem. You can sit in a church service and you can teach something from the Word of God and some people will get it. Other people will not get it. Now, sometimes that's because of church, because someone is a newer Christian. But a lot of times it's their desire to hear. Are they mature enough to be able to hear? The word dull, he said they're dull of hearing. It means slow, sluggish, lazy. The reason that the mature teaching wasn't profitable was that the ones being taught just wouldn't listen. Okay, it's very important. Now, when we come to church, are we here to hear truths from the Word of God? And by the way, it's not just this too. When you sit down and maybe read through your Bible, which is a very good thing, are you open to like, I don't want to, and I get it, we read it sometimes, we've all been here, right? We read a chapter, and we'll go back and like, wait a minute, what did I just read? How many ever been there? Good, I'm not the only one. I'm like, I got to stop, and I got to backtrack a little bit. Because I'm like, wait a minute, thoughts, I want to hear what God's trying to tell me. We have to have that desire to hear. And if we can't hear, it's going to be a problem for us. We need an attitude of some of the early believers. And I believe a lot of you do have it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says this, "For this cause we thank God also without ceasing, because when you received the word of God," how did they receive it? "Which you heard of us," Paul said, when we were preaching and teaching it, "you received it not as the word of men, but as it is, in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe." Now, I want you to understand this here, so we don't get out of bounds. He said, when we preached the truth to you, you took the truth that we preached as it was the word of God. That doesn't mean everything I say is the word of God. Nothing I say is the word of God, unless I'm reading it to you. But I'm talking about when we talk about a truth that's in the Word of God and you see it in the Word of God, do you receive it as God speaking through His Word? That's the point. It's like, that is, it's right there in the Scripture. I've had times in my life where, I remember one time very clearly, I've used it before, someone was teaching something and they said something and I'm like, that sounds good, but I don't believe it. It was not even something major. I'm like, I've never seen it in the Bible. But I'm like, oh, if he wants to believe that. And then he said, turn here. And he turned there, I'm like, sure enough, it's right there. It is in the Bible. Man, when I was a new Christian in the at church and they're preaching, I was hearing all kinds of stuff like that. I'm like, this is new. But it's like, it's right there in the book. So I received it from what I saw in the Bible. That's God's truth. I'm on board with it. But you have to be willing to want to hear it. That's what the Bereans did. They heard the truth and they would search it out themselves and look and like, this is biblical truth. I'm going to make it a part of my life. Secondly, they're not growing in doctrine. They weren't growing in their doctrine. I won't spend a lot of time on this. Verse 12, "For when the time ye ought to be what? Teachers." They said, you're old enough spiritually that you should be able to teach. You can't even understand what I'm trying to tell you. Do you understand you can't teach something if you don't know it? See, there isn't an ignorance sometimes in the average Christian of the truths of Scripture. We need to know these things. And by the way, it's our responsibility. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." I believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. You should be able to tell people that. By the way, that should be one of the first things you get. Okay? You say, and it's like, and I get it. It can be daunting when we're trying to tell somebody what happened to us, but it shouldn't be that daunting. Because after all, he saved you. And so we need to learn some of the basics. And as we go on, we hear these things and we understand them from the scripture. We need to know what we believe. No Christian who has been saved for any amount of time should not be able to share the gospel. I'm sorry. You know, there was a man, it's a fictitious story. This guy got hit by a car and he was laying in the street and everybody was around and helping him. And it's like, we need to get a doctor. And like, you know what? This guy's not going to make it. And so he looked around and says, is there anybody here who can tell this man about God? They all just stared at each other like, I don't know. Okay, he says, well, is there anybody here that's even went to church? And one guy goes, well, tell him what you heard in church. And he's like, B14, O27. Thank you. By the way, we were playing at that at our house during the fellowships, right? Okay, and it got a little bit out of control there. Point is, we don't know what we believe. We ought to know we're secure. People ask questions like, you know, they've been saved for a while, and they'll say, you know, if I do this, will I go to hell? We don't understand the security of the believer. Man, when Jesus saves you, you're saved forever. But we're not growing in our doctrine, and it's our responsibility. That's why he tells us in 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that meaneth not to be ashamed. Number three, they're not growing in appetite. They're not growing in appetite. Look at verse 12 again as we continue on. You should be teachers, and it says in verse 12, ye have need that one teach you, here it is, again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such that have need of milk, and not strong meat. The problem is, we have not developed that appetite. We're still on milk. Don't you, look, I'm not a brain surgeon, but I do know this. Steak's better than milk. Okay? By the way, pizza's better than milk. Anything's better than milk. Milk's only good for one thing, to make it into half and half and put in your coffee. Okay? But the point is, it's there's better stuff out there. You know, a lot of times we just don't have an appetite for the things of God. We don't have an appetite for things that are better. Children don't have that. By the way, children look at food and they're like, they're so used to simple things, texture, color, and how it's like, I don't even want to try it. It's like, that's good stuff. But we have to have an appetite. I mentioned it last week, a couple weeks ago. You know, when it came to like my music in my life, I had to change my appetite. I had an appetite for music that wasn't good, and I heard the church music, and I'm like, I am not listening to that stuff. I'll not listen to my stuff, but I'm not listening to that stuff. And then as I sat in church, I'm like, ooh, that's good. That ministers to me. I like that. And by the way, of course, as a brand new person, spiritual things to me were kind of like, what? But boy, as I got in the Bible, I just developed that appetite. When you're saved, your appetite should change. It should be better. It should just, you should, the things that you didn't understand as you start to understand them. By the way, let me just say this, and I won't go off on this because I have a few more points left. You know, if our appetite is for the things that are not of God, the things that are of God just aren't very good. Come on now. You sit your kids down and you offer them broccoli or a McDonald's quarter pounder with cheese or chicken nuggets. I wonder if there's even any chicken in those nuggets, right? They're going to choose the nuggets. They're not going to choose broccoli. And that's how we are sometimes. We have to. That's why Paul said this. Sometimes the way we live dictates the appetite we have. That's why when 1 Peter said, add to your faith, and he listed all these things, he listed them in order. And he said the very first one, right, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue. Wait a minute. So the first thing he told you that we should add after our faith, before we move on to the others, is virtue. Do you know what virtue has to do with? Living right. Because if we don't live right, spiritual things are not going to be very appealing. Number four, they're not growing in wisdom. Verse 13, I'm putting it on speed dial. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. In other words, the reason they were drinking milk is they couldn't comprehend the spiritual things. They didn't have any skill in the word of righteousness. They couldn't get in there and figure it out and make it work. By the way, what is wisdom? Wisdom really is nothing more than the skill or the ability to take the truths of God's word and make it a part of my everyday life. That's wisdom. It's not IQ. Well, let's be thankful in our group, right? It's not IQ. It's not just knowing something. It's knowing it and knowing how to use it in our lives. And they weren't doing that. They heard all these things because it said earlier they had been taught, but yet they were still at a baby level. Why? They never put it into practice in their life. They're just like, I hear it, I feel, you know, I went to church today, I put my time in, and it's all good. No, we're not just going here to put our time in. Okay, there's too much on the line for that. We need to hear something that helps us when we walk out of church to be the Christians and do the things we're supposed to do. That's wisdom. It says they were unskillful. That means they were inexperienced. They were ignorant. They were unskillful because they did not use the word of God. And they were not living it. Number five, they were not growing in maturity, and we'll not spend a lot of time on this. This is really the message. Look at verse 13. For he is a babe. That's the bottom line. For not growing in our faith and acting our spiritual age, we are nothing more than a baby. Remember what Brother Treiber said very jokingly? He said, sometimes I feel like I should change the sign out on the front of our church to Jack's Daycare. Okay. Hopefully he was joking. Because you know why? Look. When children are, I just spent a couple days with six of them. They do really childlike things. They're immature. Why'd you do that? You know, it's like, okay, I get it. They're children. I get all that. They're immature. By the way, if you constantly have problems in life, could it be we're immature as a Christian? Babies cry about the smallest things. In fact, a lot of times they cry about nothing. One of the kids, I'm like, they wanted to do something. I'm like, no, we're not going to do that right now. And then it's like, you can see the tearing. I'm like, stop. Grandpa doesn't do good with that. You're not going to just cry because I told you no. That won't fly here. Okay, why? Because I said no? And I say it all the time. They fuss with other babies easy. They're very impatient. By the way, so are we. And the Bible has just so much teaching about things in life, and maturity helps us with that. If you're growing in your beliefs, the bottom line is you'll be changing in your behavior. Number six, they are not growing in obedience. Look at verse 14. Now he starts to transition to let them know how they can go from milk to maturity and meat. He says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Okay? That's where they really were. Even to those who by reason of, if you're with me, what's that one word? Use. You know what he's saying? They're doing what they learned. That's obedience. One reason we don't grow is because we don't obey the things we've already heard. Right? How are we going to grow and I'm not saying none of us are perfect. We hear a lot of things. But how are we going to grow if we're constant hearing things that God's talking to us about and we just push them off? We're not going to do them. Well, that's no growing. You're just hearing things. We grow by usage. The more we obey, the more we can go. That's what we can grow. That's what strong mean. Because they were using what they're learning. What is the phrase you've heard before, right? Use it or lose it, right? So we hear something from God's word, and if God speaks to us and we catch it, and it's like, you know what? That's something I really need to have a part of my life. Get after it. Don't just hear it and let it go off to the side. You know what they say, like water off of a duck's back. Very important. As we use what we are learning from Scripture, we are then obedient to it. The baseline ingredient for a successful Christian is obedience. And that leads us to another area where they struggle. Number seven, they're not growing in discernment. Discernment. Discernment's ability to see things and understand, hey, this course of action leads that way. This course of action leads to a better way. That type of thing. Look at verse 14. They, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's amazing to me, I've heard people who claim to know Christ, who claim to be Christians, and they'll sit there and argue about something that's clearly defined in the Bible as wrong. Well, what's wrong with that? Why is that an issue? But you know why? Because they haven't been obedient to what they already know. When you get in the Bible and you start understanding it and obeying it, now you start to see things that are right and wrong. Now I'm going to step over to irritation point right here. I don't understand how many churches in our country are running to the side of abortion. That's pathetic. But you know why? They don't care about that book. You go to church, you sing a couple songs, and whoop-de-doo. No. When we do not obey what we know, we can't see out. And it's mind-boggling how many Christians let things into their life that would be destructive because they don't see it. It's because they haven't been in the habit. Look, you turn your back on a child, they will stick anything in their mouth. Anything. They just do. It's like, oh, look, a frog. A lizard. One time the kids got a goldfish, and I kept it in the styrofoam cup. I figured they always die within an hour anyhow, right? So I'm like, and that thing lived in the styrofoam cups for a few days. And it had like a bunch of scum and film on it. So finally, I was like, you know, he died. And so I took him to the restroom. We had a little funeral. Name of the Father, Son. And I left the styrofoam cup in there. Now, one of my children, who shall remain nameless, who was very young, I went in there. They had that scummy cup. But what happened? No, it was one of the girls, and her name rhymed with banana. And I'm like, what are you drinking? Not only what are you drinking, what cup are you using? They're like, cool. That's a cup, water, I'm in. I mean, our dog didn't even drink out of the toilet. But you know, kids don't have discernment, right? That looks cool. This looks good. Let's do this. That's a bad idea. But as a Christian, one of the good things, let's hit it from a positive angle. One of the good things about growing in your faith, you start to see things better in life. Hey, this would be bad for my marriage. This would be bad for my children. Hey, this would be helpful for my life. Hey, that would be great. This would be, oh, no, that's going to head this direction. Discernment. And it comes by usage. Lastly, aren't you proud of me? Told you. They're not growing in direction. Direction. So here's what he tells them. Chapter 6, verse 1. He goes, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, the stuff that they had been told a long time ago, the milk stuff. He goes, let's leave that. Not leave it like always. We got that. That's settled. We're right here. Let's leave from there and let's us go on unto perfection. Now the word perfection is just simply maturity. They said, hey, you got the milk stuff down. There's better stuff over here. Right? And let's leave the milk. Let's start heading in the direction of maturity. And I can tell you this. You say, Pastor, how do I know if I'm becoming more mature as a Christian? Are you headed in that direction? By the way, you know if you're not or are not. I mean, are you headed in the way of, I want to know what the Scripture says. I want to be in the Scripture. I really want to grow. And you start going in that direction. Remember this. It's not where you're at as a Christian. Let me encourage you. It's what direction are you headed? I would, if direction were heading to the East Coast, you can still be in California as long as you're heading east. But if you're heading west, well, first of all, you're going to hit the ocean pretty quick. But you're not going the right direction. By the way, don't be discouraged. Sometimes people are heading the right direction and they stumble. And they're like, oh man, why should I keep going? It's like, wait a minute, time out. Look at how, now you were in California and now you're in Kansas. And why anybody would want to go to Kansas is beyond me. Stop in Wichita, my favorite city, right? It's just, are you going the right direction? Hey, does it, okay, maybe some of you are drinking milk. But you're headed towards meat. Some of you, what's between milk and meat? Pizza. Keep going. Oh, you're eating McDonald's. You're going the wrong direction, bro. Flip it, okay? That's going to kill you. Here's the point. All of us start at milk, right? Got a baby right there. Just had a baby born here. Edgel's somewhere around here. She had a baby. By the way, there's room for more. George and Darlene, they're going to have one here. Okay, that's milk phase. Let's move on. Let's start heading the right direction. Okay, and if you're going the right direction, don't be as concerned about where you are now. Just keep the momentum going. All right, how's your hearing? How's your doctrine? How's your appetite? How's your wisdom? How's your maturity, your obedience, discernment? Just go the right direction. Let's pray, if we may, for a second. Just for a second, please. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. There's nothing wrong with being a baby. There's nothing wrong with being immature. As long as we're not dwelling there, we need to move on from there. And by the way, let me encourage you too. I didn't say this, but sometimes even someone who is mature, right, does something immature. And that's okay. As long as it's just, well, you know what? That was immature of me to do. I'm done with that. I'm going somewhere else. It's when our life is described as being immature, that's the problem. That's the problem. But let's go the right direction. Boy, there is so much God has for us. There is so much in His Word. Let's not get stuck over here. I don't want to spend time in the nursery. I don't even like walking through that part of the building. I say that jokingly. I love the kids. But let's move to perfection. Are you heading in the direction of acting your spiritual age or understanding what you should be understanding at this time? Say, Pastor, some of us, by the way, I got a 2-year lag behind start. I was 2 years behind. But once I got going the right direction, I'm like, I'm in. Let's go. Let's just mature in our faith. That's the whole principle. You say, when do you get done maturing? Ready? Never. It's a lifelong pursuit. And by the way, it's a wonderful pursuit. Maybe you're here this morning and you cannot act a spiritual age if you're not spiritual. In other words, you cannot drink milk until you're born. The Bible calls that being born again, being saved, trusting Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You can't act a spiritual age because you haven't been born into the family of God. Here's the question. Are you 100% for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Or do you have some doubt? You say, Pastor, I have some doubt. I'm not for sure. Would you pray for me with nobody looking around? If that's you, say, Pastor, I'm not 100% for sure, but I'd like to know. Would you pray for me? Would you just raise your hand? Anybody like that at all until I see? Put it down. I see you. See that hand down here? Anybody else? Let's all stand together. Piano's going to play. Maybe God spoke to you. And by the way, we got to constantly be renewed to keep going forward in our faith, right? Sometimes we may not stop, we slow down a little bit. We need to just kick it into high gear.